What is up, gamers? Why are we still here? Just to suffer. Every night, I can feel my Twitter feed getting worse, and the takes, and the videos, the jiggle physics I've lost, the white guy protagonists I've lost. It won't stop getting dumber. It's like we've all still been doing this after 10 years. You feel it too, don't you? I'm gonna make them log off. And turn into women. This is Super Despair World, the only podcast that won't make you play with the greasy neon blue Mad Catz controller. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is going to be a rough one. This one's going to suck ass. Not like the podcast quality. It's just this topic is going to bring out something a little dark in us. Maybe too dark for the preferences of the people we're talking about. But you know what? If you want us to keep fighting the good fight and putting more adult women with small tits in games, consider supporting us on Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah. All right. So to start off, we're gonna take you guys back to the past to start off this shitty podcast that sucks ass. Dave, why don't you share a few words with our audience?
They targeted gamers. Gamers. We're a group of people who will sit for hours, days, even weeks on end, performing some of the hardest, most mentally demanding tasks, over and over and over, all for nothing more than a little digital token saying we did. We'll punish ourselves doing things others would consider torture, because we think it's fun. We'll spend most, if not all of our free time min-maxing the stats of a fictional character, all to draw out a single extra point of damage per second. Many of us has made careers out of doing just these things, slogging through the grind all day, the same quests over and over hundreds of times to the point where we know exactly every little detail such that some have attained such gamer nirvana that they can literally play these games blindfolded. Do these people have any idea how many controllers have been smashed, systems overheated, discs and carts destroyed in frustration, all to latter be referred to as bragging rights? These people honestly think this is a battle they can win. They take our media, we're already building a new one without them. They take our devs, gamers aren't shy about throwing their money elsewhere, or even making the games ourselves. They think calling us racist, misogynistic, rape apologists is going to change us. We've been called worse things by prepubescent 10-year-olds with a shitty headset. They picked a fight against a group that's already grown desensitized to their strategies and methods, who enjoy the battle of attrition they've threatened us with, who take it as a challenge when they tell us we no longer matter. Our obsession with proving we can, after being told we can't, is so deeply ingrained from years of dealing with big brothers, sisters, and friends laughing at how pathetic we used to be, that proving you people wrong has become a very real need, a honed reflex. Gamers are competitive, hardcore, by nature. We love a challenge. The worst thing you did in all of this was to challenge us. You're not special, you're not original, you're not the first. This is just another boss fight.
Oh my god. Okay, well, now that all the pussies are nice and dry, I think we can dive right into this.
I get chills whenever I read that, honestly. It's like watching or listening to the Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream speech. I mean, it's completely on the exact same level, just in terms of inspiration and you know, just the political weight that it has in how it truly is
a topic with like the same level of gravity and importance to all of Western civilization.
it is the most important and pressing thing of our time, obviously.
Yeah, there's just, you know, we've made so much headway since the glorious old days of 2014. I'm glad that people fought the good fight and games are, like, I guess, good. I don't know. Did Gamergate win? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we can suss that out on the episode.
Yeah, I guess we can suss it out. To be clear, we're not talking exclusively about Gamergate today. We're talking about something bigger than just a little hashtag on Twitter. We're talking about capital G Gamers, the longtime, much teased antagonist of Super Despair World. We're going right into it today.
Yes, and I guess we should make a distinction right off the bat about the difference between capital G gamers, as we will refer to them henceforth, and people who play games. Because Briar, like me, I know you do play games once in a while, right?
I have been known to do it. I'll be honest, before we started recording today, I decided to hop into a long-term hobby of mine. I logged into Final Fantasy XIV and checked my playtime, and it is sitting at a nice and cozy 7,515 hours.
Holy shit. That is fucking wild.
My defense, I started that in, like, 2013 when, like, the current version of the game came out, and also I have no idea how many of those hours are just, like, me standing in the middle of town while I was, like, making a sandwich upstairs or something.
Yeah, true, so. True. That is the thing about, like, MMO playtimes is I know a lot of people just, like, leave it on for hours at a time just while they, like, do other shit.
It's a whole thing. Even older than that, I looked back on just some of my past hobbies. When I was in fifth grade in elementary school, I was in the school book club, and there was a girl that I had a big crush on, and she was playing this game called Ragnarok Online. It's another, like, Korean MMO, one of the old school ones.
I've played that. I've played that before.
Oh, fuck yeah. We gotta talk about that sometime. But yeah, I was a big Ragnarok head. I got into it because of that girl. And I only properly stopped playing some version of Ragnarok in late 2022. So that's close to 20 years of my life in one game. So I don't know. I think if anybody deserves to call themselves a capital G gamer, it's probably me. I don't know, but some people say MMOs don't count. Either way, I don't want the title, so I don't know. What's your relationship with games?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've been playing games for since I was a kid. I mean, we got a Nintendo when I was five, like the original Nintendo, and then we got a Super Nintendo when I was I don't fucking know how old I was, but me and my sister used to play that shit a lot. Then we got a PlayStation. We are not an N64 family. I know, I don't have the same nostalgic relationship with the
I had an N64. A lot of people are gonna get up my ass about this. I never played any of the Zelda games, but I did play Super Mario 64, which is I don't know. Some people say it's aged poorly. I think it's a wild little game.
I think that's actually one of the few N64 titles that did not age poorly, actually. There are a lot, like fucking GoldenEye. Dude, I'm sorry, man. I've played that in recent times. It's not... It was cool back in the day. It's not fun. It's not fun.
It's not great. I think Mario had some camera issues, but other than that, I don't know. You pick it up and play it today. A lot of the movement and shit still feels very modern. But it was
groundbreaking for the time, though. I mean, like, shit. Like, Mario running in circles. I remember that they sent a, I don't know why, is it maybe subscribed to Nintendo Power shit. They sent a fucking VHS to our house. When I was in, I don't even remember when this was, but probably middle school or some shit. And I remember popping that bitch in the VCR, and it was just like a promotional thing for the N64. And they played like Mario 64 and like Pilot Wings or something. I think those are the launch titles. I remember
fucking magazine demo discs. I was never into Nintendo Power, but I was into the big, like the official Xbox magazine and like the PlayStation one around like early mid 2000s. And man, do you remember how like weirdly like juvenile and trashy all the like video game ads were back then?
It was like terrible.
Here's some girls like bouncing their tits around and like a boy picking his nose and showing you the booger, and it's like, this game will kill your fucking parents.
Exactly, because
like
it was definitely a part of that like late 90s early 2000s like gross out, extreme attitude bullshit marketing that they always did to like preteens and teens, where it's just like, this game's gonna make you make your parents crazy, and it's just like the whitest people that they could have gotten, and they're like sticking their fingers in their ears while like a kid's
it was
kind
of like
on a skateboard or some stupid bullshit.
Yeah, it was like the progenitor to whatever like Monster Energy drinks is trying to do with their marketing before their brand became like associated with like femboys measuring their cocks. But either way, I think we've kind of like established we've established ourselves as experts on this subject. So maybe let's give our viewers a clear definition. What is it about gamers as an identity that makes them different than just like people who just like play games sometimes? Because there is a big difference.
Well, see, that's the thing, and I think it's evolved over time, but I mean, I always keep coming back to this thing of people's obsession with identities, and I think that's really what it comes down to fundamentally. There's a difference between people who are like, "Hey, I like doing this, I like these things," and people who are like, "This is what I am. What I am. I am a gamer, and I am a gamer, and gamers do this. Gamers feel this type of way." Gamers exist in this sort of space. This is what a gamer is, and this is what
gamers
a gamer isn't.
A particular odor to them.
Yeah, it's some spectrum of haven't showered in 3 months, or haven't showered in 3 months but covered with Axe body spray.
Yeah, exactly. So it's your Asmund Gold versus your XQC.
Yeah. It's what level are you at? Are you a piss jug gamer? Or have you gone full diaper at this point? Like, how much?
Of day does the ray of sunlight hit the dead rat in your room so that it makes a smell or wakes you up?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're a real gamer, you've completely blacked out all your windows at that point, because the glare is gonna lower your DPS or your fucking headshot ratio by some. I mean, to non-gamers it would be an insignificant amount, but you know, once you're at that level, every just fucking 0.1, it matters, man. It matters.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I agree with a lot of the stuff we've said before about different identities, but I also think there's like a different like spectrum of severity, right?
Spectrum.
We'll talk about that some other time. But you know, when we look at some identities, like, sure, a lot of people call themselves like queer or gay or something. And you know what? I'm queer. I like a lot of people in that space.
Wait,
but it's
what?
Like, you know, that's. What? What? No!
End the podcast. I'm out of here.
Yeah, sorry, the 5G towers got to me. But the thing is, like, there are some, like, identities that are just, like, kind of natural, right? Like, some people are just, like, gonna gravitate to something. And, you know, maybe it's a little embarrassing if they make it, like, their whole deal. And it's like,
sure.
Okay, it's like, maybe there's, like, a performative element. Like, we all know somebody who's, like, a little cringy about something that they like or something that they, like, identify as or whatever. But the thing about gamers in particular is it really feels like, more so than other things, it's very much like a commercial construct, right? This is something that like corporations made to like to label a demographic of people to sell products to, you know?
Yeah.
I look at like when we kind of like entered the modern era, maybe this is a little high level, this is a little historical bullshit or whatever, but like around like the 1950s and 60s and stuff, when we were seeing a lot of the rise of like the first like computers, like computing technology and that kind of thing, a lot of people in tech, it was like a pretty like egalitarian field. You had like both men and women like making a lot of like breakthroughs in like the technology that would become computers and later games and shit like that.
For sure.
It was only like around, I want to say like the 80s or 90s or something like that, when suddenly the tech industry got like a very gendered. And when you look at video games in particular, they were still like largely considered like just like toys for kids at the time. And as we all know, or like at least people our age for sure, I don't know if they made toys more woke and gender ambiguous nowadays. I don't know. I don't buy toys, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But the thing about toy marketing is, like, they made it, like, very gendered. Like, you walk into any toy aisle at a store, and it's like, okay, here's the boys section with all the, like, robots and murder assassins and whatever. And here's, like, the girl aisle with all the easy bake ovens and Barbie dolls or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, that kind of, like, that was just, like, a thing that shifted over time. And it's kind of, like, it kind of stuck with video games for a long time. And I guess the broader point I'm making here is that, like, when we see people identify as gamers, it's kind of like a product of their time, right? They have this idea of video games as, like, a thing very catered to them specifically. Like, oh, guys are just more naturally inclined to be capital G gamers. But no, it's all this is just, like, a fabrication of markets to sell products, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And yeah, just, like, going with what you said, I mean, well, obviously, like, Ada Lovelace was arguably the first, if not one of the first, to, like, you know, make, like, the idea, if not the actualization of it, of a the thing that we call computers now. But, like, yeah, from what I understand, like, yeah, definitely, like, in the 70s and shit, and maybe early 80s, like, that computing was seen as, like, not only egalitarian, but, like, a job that's fit for women, just in the sense that, like, being, like, a typist or a secretary was, in the same way of just,
like
you can
then
sit there and with your dress on, and it's not too mentally demanding, you know.
Then men's work was like you chop wood or go to war, you know. That's men's labor.
exactly. Or it's you do some blue collar thing, you go to war, or it's like you're a business guy who's shaking hands with other people, and it's like, well, women aren't fit for that, so what can they do? They can sit in front of a terminal and they can put little words into that type of thing.
It's like being a secretary, but with a machine,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I don't even have to deal with them.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so all the like weird gendered stuff in like tech and video games as like derivative of tech, it's all just like a weird like market fabrication. It's all bullshit. There isn't really anything intrinsic about it. And I think the rise of the capital G gamer is like a title, something that people really latch onto, is like it kind of came as a response to this backlash, like, hey, there's no reason games have to just cater to one type of person, you know? We can make different games that appeal to different people and, like, do something more with it than just being, like, a fucking, like, toy for overgrown children to release some dopamine.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, that shit is so deep-rooted. And I've actually noticed that even, like, relatively recently, because when I lived in Korea, I didn't really play games that often. And then when I moved back to the States, I had a little bit more like free time at home, I guess. And I was like, oh, I should, I'll start playing games again and shit. And like a lot of the people I were around,
didn't just get like humiliated by some like 9-year-old in a StarCraft game and you're like, I can't do this anymore, man.
So I have tried playing at the fucking PC Bang in Korea and I got my fucking dick kicked off in like any game.
Of course, yeah. As one does.
Yeah, absolutely.
You are a fish out of water. That's not your environment.
Oh,
that's
for
not
sure.
Where you belong.
For sure. Yeah, it's a cool environment, I guess, but. Yeah, no shot.
I will say, you know, we don't really have, like, internet cafes so much here in, like, North America or, like, first world countries anymore. If there are, I'm sure it's, like, a very niche thing. As much as, like, I can think of them as, like, oh, that's probably just, like, a den for, like, sweaty gamers to, like, be weird and antisocial or something, I still think that's honestly better than just, like, staying in your room all day. At least you're physically in a space with other people. So
well, that's the thing, too, is, like, most of the people in those places were with, like, a couple people, at least. And they might not all be playing the same game, but they're sitting next to each other, and they're, like, talking, and they get up, and they go have a coffee, or they go to the fucking smoking room or some shit together. So it's like, yeah, it's not the most social thing they can possibly be doing, but it's definitely better than the Western trope of somebody like sitting in their basement just like pissing in jugs and playing World of Warcraft for 19 hours a day.
It's a bare minimum excuse to not, I don't know, wallow in your own filth. You have to meet like at least a certain level of hygiene to be welcome in the business at all.
Exactly, exactly. And they smelled okay. They smelled okay. Like the room in general. I want to know.
This is kind of tangential. Do they allow smoking in those? I've seen pictures of like fucking kids smoking in some of those.
So when I moved to Korea in shit, what was it, like 2011? I think you could smoke in like a lot of places. Like you could smoke in bars and restaurants and shit. And it wasn't too long after I moved there that they kind of banned it, in the sense that they ban it in most like places like North America and shit like that. But they had smoking rooms. They had this little like room with like an air vent thing where you could like sequester in there
could you smoke like next to the PCs?
No. I never went to one when I first got there. You probably could. I'm sure in like the early 2000s you could just like chain smoke cigarettes while playing, which is probably why they're
I don't even want to think about that. Like my PC gets dusty enough. I do not want to imagine how nasty it would get if like it was in a room full of like
I never even thought about that.
They'll get ranked.
Yeah, those computers would be fucked. For sure. But yeah, I mean, I think part of that too, the whole reason that they exist and they're still around, is it's a logistic thing. It's like, why spend $2,000 for a gaming computer when you could walk down the street and go use their completely tricked out computer for $1 an hour? And
yeah, rules. Man, I wish we had streets we could walk down.
Yeah,
that would be so nice.
You know? that's some fucking commie bullshit though.
Yeah, South Korea, notorious giga communist paradise.
Yeah, exactly. They love it there.
Yeah, ask any South Korean how they feel about communism. It'll be enlightening.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Either way. A thing about like gamers is an identity. Like I said, it feels very much rooted in like a certain backlash. Like there was the whole like 90s, early 2000s period when it was very like, you know, that gross out like radical bad attitude era or something. And I think, yeah, it was around like the late 2000s, kind of early 2010s, when we kind of saw the first like pushback of it. I remember the very notorious, what was it like? I think the actual article was called "Gamers Are Over," but it got misquoted a lot of times as "Gamers Are Dead." I don't remember. It doesn't really matter.
All like, gamers have died.
We have killed all the gamers.
Goodbye,
finally.
Gamers.
Mission accomplished. No, but it was some article. I don't really give a shit about games journalism. I don't think anyone really does.
Yeah,
but
we could talk about that later.
Yeah, the point of the article, when they say gamers are over, they mean gamers as like a specific market demographic. This idea of like, if you want to make a video game, this is the only type of person that's going to buy your product, so you have to cater to their taste or whatever. It's like, no, you can make games for like any group of people, and not everybody who's into games has to like all of them or whatever. Very very innocuous stuff, but a lot of people took great issue with this, which I guess is like, we can touch a little bit on the history of this. This is the good old days of hashtag Gamergate.
Ooh.
That was such a mess.
Ooh, yeah. Wow, what a bunch of fun people having a really rational discourse about something that matters quite a bit.
Yeah, people being very, very normal and cool and just like sorting out their disagreements. It's truly like the Greek forum, just fucking Socrates arguing with Aristotle about how polygonal Laura Croft's tits should be, you know? Just real good, healthy convos.
Yeah, and I'm saying four sides on that tetrahedron. That's my stance, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, exactly. For those who don't know, and you know, I'm really envious if that applies to you, the little monologue Dave did at the start of the show, that was a notorious copypasta, something that somebody very sincerely wrote at the peak of the original Gamergate, which I guess was framed as this like movement. Like there was some original drama about like some woman who made like a free text adventure who like cheated on a boyfriend or something to supposedly get reviews to like make money off of this free text adventure game. Mm-hmm. It's all really stupid. Honestly, I don't think anybody is actually sincerely invested in this stuff. I think some people just hate women or just want to pretend to like wreak havoc and go nuts and yell at people on the internet.
Yeah, that was the shot heard around the world of the gamer revolution, if you will.
It was so embarrassing. Like, I remember, like, on Reddit, this was rooted in, like, a subreddit, which is, like, still around today, I think. It's called Kotaku in Action, which was, like, a spinoff of Tumblr in Action. I don't know which one came first, actually. Which was, like, riding that wave of the, like, early mid 2010s like backlash against this social justice warrior or something, this idea of like some crazy like histrionic like very lefty liberal type of person that just wants to like make every piece of media like a lecture about like racism and history or something. It's all a lot of really embarrassing bullshit. And you know, I don't know. People can just take our word that it's embarrassing. You've heard the monologue at the start. Dave, when I say the name Vivian James, does that mean anything to you?
Which one was that? I get all my wires crossed with these.
So, okay, to be clear, it's not a real person. Vivian James is like a cartoon character. I think it's from 4chan or something, who kind of became like the mascot of Gamergate, and her name is like a pun, like Vivian James video games, whatever.
Oh, and it's wow, like this, so clever, guys.
They made up like a cute little almost anime kind of girl with like red hair and like a green and purple like gamer sweater, and people made all these embarrassing comics about how she's just like arguing against the wokies trying to take over video games or something.
I remember this is like the woke femoid that is just like ruining all your games by putting pronouns in them. And
we're not sexist. We're a very diverse movement for ethics and games journalism. Look at this woman on my side who I just finished drawing.
Yeah. exactly. She's why is she a redhead? I want to know more.
That's a good question. Maybe we can unpack that in a future bit.
Yeah, just okay. Unpacking redheads.
This is our first episode on gamers. Maybe later we can do one on their sexual proclivities if it doesn't come up today. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the whole Gamergate situation, it was completely stupid. I don't really feel like I need to explain how stupid it was. You look back and it's like, imagine being a regular person and trying to explain to people in real life, like, why this is important, like, why you are spending all day reading Twitter and watching YouTube videos about people talk about, like, the fucking ethics of video games journalism, or, like, why it's bad that they, like, centered some, like, underage girls' panties in like an anime game, mm-hmm. like from Japan or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're gonna sound insane. It's all really dumb. But you know, that was like about 10 years ago now. And recently, you might have seen something trending on Twitter. If you're still on Twitter and have not heeded any of our advice, you know what? Good for you. You might have seen something called Gamergate 2 trending. Dave, are you familiar with this?
So I'm vaguely familiar with it, but you're gonna have to school me on the Gamergate 2 lore, because I'm so interested in this.
Can you pretend to be familiar with it for 30 seconds while I drink some water?
Yes, I can pretend to be. Okay, so Gamergate 2. Well, if you thought Gamergate 1 was a great movie, Gamergate 2 is going to be even better.
We made Vivian's tits even bigger since the patch came out.
Yeah, we have more woke libtards, screeching, blue hair, all of that, all the stuff you've come to love in Gamergate 1. We got it twice as much. We got updated graphics, the Vivian James.
All right, that's good enough for now. Okay, all right, thanks. I'm good. I'm good to continue. I'm sorry, guys. I've had a bad cough. I need to get back on my meds soon. I'll be good in like 3 episodes from now.
Yeah, Briar needs money for meds, so donate to the Patreon, or you will literally kill her.
Yeah, I got tuberculosis. I need to get back on the snake oil.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy in a straw hat keeps going along with a really good remedy, and you can't afford it. So
yeah, exactly. Your Patreon dollars will keep me able to breathe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk Gamergate 2.0. This is some business that arose out of like a recent drama. I'll recap it to the best of my ability. So there is this company known as Sweet Baby Incorporated, which, one, dumb name, and two, immediately made me think of, like, you ever see those like really weird like faceless baby plushies that Matt Walsh tries to sell to his audience of perverts?
Oh, the diaper baby?
Yeah, I think doesn't he call them like the Sweet Baby Gang or something? I don't know. It's
something irrelevant. Something very so. Strange. It's like, hey, stop sexualizing kids. Anyways, here's
buy my face yeah. on a baby.
Yeah, buy my face. You can sleep in the kids, you can folks. Sleep it's with this good. Baby in your bed. It's gonna be
yeah. Fun. Yeah. Do unspeakable things with this plushie of my face to own the libs. Anyway, I digress. That's just what my brain thought of. To be clear, Matt Walsh, nothing to do with this. So, Sweet Baby Inc. They're like a consultancy group that does stuff for like writing and video games. And if people don't know, a consultancy is like when you just like hire somebody to be like an expert in something. So like, for example, if you were to hire Sweet Baby Inc., some of the stuff they do is like in a video game, they will fill out like extra dialogue for NPCs or like written stuff for like fucking audio logs you pick up in some like AAA bullshit open world game mm-hmm. or something like that. Or other things, like if you were writing a game set in like a specific time period, maybe they'll do a little bit of historical research for you, make sure like some accents or terminology is spot on. Another more contentious thing they do is like they just kind of make sure games are not going to get like weird media backlash for like having a tasteless joke or doing something that's like not quote unquote politically correct. You know, maybe a writer just put in a joke that like would immediately turn into a negative headline or something.
Fucking pronouns.
They put the pronouns in the video games. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of, I think consultancy is kind of like, it's kind of innocuous. It's just kind of regular corporate business bullshit. Every like big company does it on some level. It's not a new thing. It's not an interesting thing. I don't really think it adds a whole lot most of the time, honestly. When I look at like I'm more interested in like indie media, like indie games, RPGs, whatever, that bullshit. And I think, okay, I don't really feel like consultants really add a whole lot. If I was making yeah. something, I wouldn't hire one.
Yeah, you know? I mean, well, but, like consultancy in business, like in corporate business, is really just like, it's the equivalent of like you as somebody who does something, like just hiring like a freelancer, like an independent contractor, to do something for you. They just call it consultant because it sounds more like businessy and fancy. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just like we hired an outside.
A consultant is literally just someone who knows something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you were just hiring someone for knowledge that you do not have.
Yep. You bring them in, they do a thing, and then you pay them, and it's gone.
Yeah, it's very innocuous stuff, and like every fucking business of above a certain size does it. It's not new, right. it's not whatever.
Right.
But some people discovered this for the first time, and they got very upset about Sweet Baby Inc., because to capital G gamers, Sweet Baby Inc. is kind of like the smoking gun. It's like, aha, we finally have a name and faces to put on this like shadowy cabal of people that we've insisted have been making games woke and not fun for a long time. And, you know, a lot of it is like complete bullshit, too. It's like we said, it's not a new thing. When people said it's like a negative headline avoidance thing, they're like, oh, so Sweet Baby Inc. blackmails people and tells them that your game is going to get called racist and sexist and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
If you don't hire us to rewrite your game for you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it can't just be like this game company doesn't want to ruin their investment by like having people get pissed off about their game for some stupid bullshit. No, it's definitely some like weird Jewish conspiracy where like a bunch of people are sitting in some underground bunker just like, how can we put wokeness in game? Well, we'll blackmail them. And all these poor AAA game devs are just like, oh shit, well we have to put pronouns in the game because this company who's totally just like the BlackRock of gaming, they're forcing us to do it. Who could save us from this? Wait a second, 4chan.
Yeah, it's complete nonsense. I'm looking, I just pulled up a list of like the dozens of games that that Sweet Baby Inc. has supposedly worked. Well, I shouldn't say supposedly. The list is literally from their website. It's their business. They're not going to be secretive about the games they work on. They want to have like that portfolio up there. And maybe this is a phrase that you've probably heard many times over, the phrase go woke, go broke, which is like this idea that like, oh, if you give in to the woke mind virus and make your game like diverse and progressive in some way, or at least just not making the women like double D titty, like underage Japanese schoolgirls or something, oh, you're going to like fail financially because that's not what real gamers want. But it's kind of nonsense because I'm looking at like some games that that Sweet Baby Inc. has worked on. They started around 2019, and there are some big names on this list. There's fucking God of War Ragnarok. That was like a pretty big AAA game.
Woke.
Oh, do they make Kratos woke?
Yeah, he's black, trans femme. He transitions halfway through the game.
I guess God of War was about him being like a dad, and in Ragnarok his kid like, Dad, I'm gay, and he just like, they made it woke because he doesn't just immediately like crush his son's skull or something.
Yeah,
because
that's usually how Vikings did it. They were just like, no son of mine, and then they just destroyed him. I'm pretty sure that's in like every historical record.
Another game they worked on is Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
Woke.
I haven't played it, but it seemed like woke. Yep. Okay, they got that one too. Yep. Actually, I think I saw something about like if you walk around in the city, you can see like a pride flag at some point. That's pretty woke.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure some of the NPCs are black, so woke. All right, next.
Yeah, another big one. Alan Wake 2. That was pretty recent, and I've heard it's done really well commercially.
Yeah, Alan Wake, more like Alan Woke. Woke.
Oh god, yeah. Damn it. Owned. Yeah. Oh, it's right in the name too. Yep. They snuck it under our noses.
Yep.
Extra funny too, because the first Alan Wake, not a lot of people know this, it like fucking tanked commercially. That game did not succeed. That franchise was on ice for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm happy for all the people that worked on the second one. I've heard nothing but good things about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. They went Wake, and then they went break.
And then, but see, here's the thing. The game did really well, so that's just evidence that the cabal, wanted it to do. They put money into it to make it look like going woke does not go broke.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the evidence is here, folks. I mean, we're doing our own research here. We're just presenting facts, asking questions. I mean, okay, it's up to you, but like,
I'm gonna throw you for a loop. Yeah. Here's one more. This is the very big contentious game that Sweet Baby Inc. worked on. The one that's gotten people very, very up in a twist about this late. I don't know why I said up in a twist. That's a little British of an expression.
It's up in a twist, Shane.
Well, at least we're not making our schools into shooting galleries like Call of Duty. But
all right. That's a very specific brain rot to me. Anyways, so this game is Suicide Squad: Kill the Justice League. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, woke. It's about suicide. It's about trans people. It's just like
they made Harley Quinn less. They made her more a lesbian, but I think. Not as much. I don't know. So here's the thing. Let's get this out of the way. I'm not a big expert on cape shit, but I think we can all agree. Nobody fucking cares about the Suicide Squad, right? Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Nobody likes these characters.
I don't even think anybody watched that movie. that they really promoted the shit out of.
I think there were multiple Suicide Squad movies. I don't know. This, like, the whole fucking DC cinematic universe is like a complete mess. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I don't know. And that's the thing too, is like, there's nothing that separates it from Marvel as far as like being bad. Movie wise, at least. I'm not a big comic book reader or fan, so don't let me shit on your actual interest. I'm just talking about the Hollywood movies. Like they're all kind of bad. Like I don't, but like why do people gloss over those? And
this game first came into my attention when it came out, and in spite of the game literally having "Kill the Justice League" in the title, there was a big like initial outrage on Twitter because people posted like the ending cutscene where the Suicide Squad kills Batman, one of the people in the Justice League. And I guess this really upset a lot of people. They're like, they did this to tear down the white male protagonist. They're humiliating him. They're making him look like he got owned. Like he doesn't have a clean room. Like he has a small cock. That's why Harley Quinn beats him with she shoots him in the head with a pistol, which is a very phallic weapon. She penetrates his skull with a bullet like the woke mind virus.
Young men have nobody to look up to anymore because Batman was the last standing role model for young men, and now it's only a lesbian woman with a gun and she I need more benzos. But like, are you like, they're,
I have a vagina now.
I'm transitioning. They were really pissed about that. That's crazy.
It's kind of wild. So I have this theory of like a lot of like kind of like reactionary, like very like right wing kind of people. They just like, they have a whole thing about like being humiliated, right?
This is
kind of like as old as history. Like the original fucking Nazis were like, a lot of their rhetoric was like, we're proud Germans, but we were humiliated in World War I, so now we have to kill all the Jews or something. Or like a lot of gamers, they're like, they see themselves. This was another thing a couple years back when what was it called? Oh, I fucking hate this game. The Last of Us Part 2 came out, and people were really mad because, like, the opening hours of that game have, like, the main character of the first one get, like, killed off very unceremoniously, which, like, that's, like, the whole thing about, like, it's like a dark zombie game. That's how every character dies.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's not meant to be hopeful or heroic or whatever. You know, that's just the fucking genre.
Yeah,
but people are like, they humiliated him. They made him look incompetent. They killed us so we would have to play as a dumb woman or something like that.
Like, yeah. So that's kind of my whole thing with this whole gamer rhetoric is like, all right, dude, like, it's this, what's with this like wish fulfillment thing, man? Like it's a fucking game. Like you're not, people like take this shit too seriously, I guess. They inject themselves too much into this shit. Like we've talked
about this before, about just how the whole like wish fulfillment thing is like, it's just completely pathetic. Like you look at like another group that has like very, very big overlap with the gamers, which is like the anime profile, like weeb otaku kind of guys. How like, you ever notice how like a lot of the anime that they're really into is basically just like a fucking incel rape fantasy?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I got hit by a truck and now I'm in another world where this harem of hot bitches who are all like 13 years old is really into me for being like a smelly gamer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all the things my parents yelled at me about and said I was a loser for doing in this world, everybody likes me for like being really, really stinky and dumb and only knowing like obscure facts. Now in this world, all the girls like that, and for some reason they're all obsessed with me. But I do remember when I was like when I was younger, I would just like kind of gravitate towards like, if you could like pick your character, or you know, create a character, I would make like a dude who looks like me, because it was like, oh well, you know, like it's my character, like it's supposed to be like. Nowadays, I only make like hot female characters with big triangular titties and a fucking fat ass dumpy.
So I'm probably going to ruin some viewers' perception of me, because I've been told by people over my life that I have tall energy, but I'm only like 5'6", 5'7", in real life. And I will say my wish fulfillment is whenever I play a game, I will pick like a lady character and I will crank that shit up to like over 6 feet tall. I want to be a giant woman. That is my power fantasy.
I think
games.
We talked about before when I was playing Mordhau for a minute, and you said your character was like it was a woman with all of like the size sliders up to max, and I
yes me I did and my, that I picked the heaviest armor. Yeah. I had like a big fucking two-handed club. Yeah. Or something, and I got my shit rocked in that game, but it was funny.
Yeah, me and my friend character. Did the same thing, and it was pretty fun. We just had the big,
if I was better at that game, it would be really fun to just like roll up a squad of like six big lady knights or something. And we all just like go to town. Yeah. But either way, yeah, that's too much fun. This is what the gamers want to keep away from you.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. We need to go back to feeling bad about wokeness. All right, continue.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so to bring it back to the game, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. This game sucks ass, and it's not just because the Suicide Squad sucks ass, and don't get me wrong, they do, but honestly the big reason this game failed is because if you ever actually look up any of the gameplay of it, it's like a completely generic like fucking like RPG stats like third person shooter. Mm-hmm. You have all these dumb skill trees to like get plus 0.25% chance to poison enemies when you hit them with cold damage and they're shorter than 5 feet or some shit like that.
Yeah.
This game had a really long development cycle. It was trying to capitalize on some stupid trends from like many, many years ago. People aren't into this kind of game, and it's just stupid. You're playing as superheroes, but it's like a shooter. They all just have like guns or some shit. It's just weak. It's not fun. The game sucks. There's bad like microtransaction bullshit. I think there was like a costume pack on sale. It was like $20 for like a Harley Quinn costume or some shit like that.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, wasn't there a Marvel game like that not too long before that? Maybe like a couple years ago. Right. And it was one of those things too that like people played for like 2 weeks. They spent like $70 to buy the game, played it for 2 weeks, and like nobody plays it anymore.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not super, like I said, I'm not big into cape shit. I only heard about this in the first place because people were outraging about it.
Yeah.
But the point I want to bring this back to is there's like some like very like this game came out this year. The Suicide Squad game came out this year, and people are already doing like this like historical revision on it where they're like, no, the game's not bad because of all that stuff. It's bad because it has bad writing. It has a bad plot. That we care intensely about the plot. It's bad because it went woke. When no, you know what? Some of the games like consultants like Sweet BB Inc. work on, yeah, they're just like good games. I haven't played Alan Wake 2, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. People say it's excellent. I'll just take their word for it for now. And I'm not taking the word of like fucking gaming publications, just in case anybody thinks that either. You know, I don't fucking read that shit. I haven't been on Kotaku in like a decade or some shit. Okay, I don't read any of these publications. I don't fall for the narrative, as some people say. Okay, I just talk to people. Okay, I go outside sometimes. But the point is, they're very eager to like reframe the failure of just like games that just suck ass, just for like very clear financial or gameplay reasons, as being like part of this woke thing. And it's just mad. It's just complete bullshit.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing too. Like, there's another issue that I have with like capital G gamers in general, besides all of this shit, is like, on top of all this stuff where they just fucking bitch constantly about the stupidest shit, like, besides the Gamergate 2 woke fucking whatever, it's like, this is another thing that I think is like a fundamental attribute of the capital G gamer is these are people who will spend 6 to 8 hours a day online bitching about some game, bitching about this company, bitching about the devs, bitching about the publisher, all this type of shit. And all the while, they're opening their wallet, paying for this $70 piece of shit game, buying all the DLC, buying all the loot boxes and all this shit, and they're just like, oh, I fucking hate Riot Games. I hate Riot. Okay, enter your credit card information. I fucking hate this game. I hate this game so much.
Different outrages where, like, conservatives were mad at, like, Nike shoes or, like, Bud Light mm-hmm. for some, like, mm-hmm. queer commercial or something?
Right.
And the first thing you see is, like, some, like Big Bubba Joe in, like, Texas just bought, like, 20 cases of Bud Light.
I'll show them by buying up the entire stock at the fucking beverage store down the street. Hell yeah.
Guys, Nike doesn't give a shit what you do with the shoes. You can burn them. You can wear them. They just want you to buy them. And you did.
And that's the thing that it all comes down to in the end, too, is like, as we mentioned before, is like, no, there's not some conspiracy to, like, inject wokeness in here to be because it's a liberal thing. Like, it's like, I know you guys have your, like, schizo board where you're connecting pins between, like, George Soros and Blizzard Games and all this type of shit. No, if they're doing this, it's to sell games, to avoid controversy, to have good PR. They don't give a shit about you because most of you, you are a very vocal minority on shitty websites like fucking X.com and probably Gab or one of these, Truth Social, one of these other places that only the absolute dredges of humanity go on. But, like, the average capital G gamer is just going to be like, oh, new game, buy, purchase. They don't give a shit. And I don't want to jump too far ahead to the moral of the story here, but, like, if you don't want to see this type of, like, stupid bullshit in gaming, stop buying shitty games. It's really that simple. And the reason that I fucking rally against this so hard is because I see so many people, just like I said, bitching about these game companies, the publishers, the whole industry in general. They're just bitch and bitch and bitch. And the entire time, they just bought $350 worth of disposable bullshit AAA games from the worst fucking studios on the planet, and they're just like, oh, fucking games suck now. Oh, wait.
I remember a couple years ago when what was the Assassin's Creed game that took place in ancient Egypt? That was, like,
oh shit, these all fucking run together.
I don't. There's too many Assassin's Creed games or something. But it was, like, a couple years ago, the one that was set in ancient Egypt, and somebody did, like, a cost comparison of, like, if you spent, like, the most, like, they have, like, 7 different fucking, like, deluxe editions that cost more and more money. And the most expensive, like, deluxe edition for the Egyptian Assassin's Creed game ended up being more expensive than actually buying a plane ticket and just having, like, an all-expense-paid vacation to Egypt
That is insane.
Completely insane. You could go see the real pyramids for less than this game.
Even though I don't really do this, I can fathom doing this for some, like, games as a service online multiplayer game, just because you can flex on other people, and it's like, yeah, it's funny when you're fucking Peter Griffin or whatever and you're shooting somebody in Fortnite. Like, yeah, I get that, but, like, you're gonna drop fucking bank. You're going to drop bank for a single player game that's localized on your own console that, like, nobody can see? Like, why?
There was another drama about this. I don't think this had anything to do with, like, the fucking culture war bullshit, but another game that just came out, Dragon's Dogma 2. A lot of people are like, up in arms about it because, like, the game has, like, 100 fucking DLC packs, which are just, like, consumable items you can get in the game itself. And some people are like, no, that's just like a DLC thing they do in Japan. You don't have to buy it. You can just get it in game. And it's like, I don't really care. I don't think there's any good reason to include that stuff. That's, I think people are rightfully mad about it. It's like, there shouldn't be the option to spend $5 to get like a new like character respec option or some shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's mobile game shit. And I think that goes back to something we talked about when we were talking about like when did video games become fucking shitty? I think part of that is it comes down to mobile games. I mean, it's kind of a tired point, but like in I bring that up in regards to like talking about like when games became a little bit more mainstream for like a non-gamer audience. I think mobile games had a lot to do with that, and yeah, I mean, a lot of the systems that you see in place that make a lot of games really shitty now comes from mobile games. And again, they saw that you can just do all of these like shitty microtransactions and make it all really just, you know, pay to win. I don't want to talk about pay to win.
Yeah, it's like a lot of it is like the infection of like stuff you see in like gambling and casinos entering into the game space. Mm-hmm. I know like years ago, you don't really see it as much nowadays, but like the whole like loot box phenomenon where you could spend money to like roll and randomly get like a package of things. The entire genre of like gacha games, that's essentially what you're doing. It is like basically gambling to some extent. And you know what? You know, I consume the slop. I'm not perfect. Some people go to Vegas for a weekend to gamble. I roll to get the fucking MILF characters in Honkai Star Rail. I'm not perfect. Be better than me. But the point is, you know, a lot of this stuff is like insidious. And even when they take out the random element where it's like, yeah, just pay $5. You're guaranteed to get consumable items in the game.
And then how is that fun? How is that fun?
It sucks. It sucks, dude.
Yeah.
Like, even when you take the random element out of it, it's still predatory, right? Because some people don't have fucking impulse control. I know I have friends of mine, like, I'm not as bad about this, but I have friends who are like, yeah, I just straight up, I cannot own a game that includes that stuff because I know I will not be able to, like, control myself and stay out of the in-game
store. But I mean,
respect for
seeing that and having that kind of self-control, because I think a lot of people are just like, gimme.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to know your limits. Right. Like, some people will say, like, it's the store is completely optional. You don't need to buy anything. It's just cosmetics or whatever. And, like,
who spend the most money in there.
Yes, absolutely. Show me how many fucking CSGO skins you have, motherfucker.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and it's like, yeah, okay, it's predatory, just like, it's just being there. And honestly, I've heard some interesting discourse. People have brought up this idea recently in some circles that, like, maybe it should be, like, an accessibility option, right? Like, maybe you should be able to completely turn off the in-game store, just don't have it on the main menu at all. I think a lot of people would appreciate
that. I think
that
would be,
like,
good. That should be, like, that needs to come from, like, an overarching authority beyond the games industry, like a government perhaps, to say, like, if you want to do loot boxes, that there has to be a thing to turn them off. Even if it's not to like stop you from doing it, like if your kid plays that game or something like that, you need an option to turn that shit the fuck off so that you don't have another. And it's even to protect the fucking company, too. Like, look at that class action lawsuit against Fortnite where they were like, yeah, kids are just like unknowingly buying like thousands of dollars worth of fucking V-Bucks. And their parents are just like, wait, mm-hmm. what the fuck?
First of all, I just want to say that's insane. Like, as a kid, I never had access to my parents' like credit card for anything, except for like 30 seconds when I need to help my mom navigate an Amazon thing.
Right,
right.
And they're looking over your shoulder the whole time.
But yeah, like, this stuff is not going to come from the industry itself. The industry is corrupt. It's full of pieces of shit. It's run by, like, fucking, like, finance ghouls that just want money.
Yeah,
and just
for sure.
More returns every quarter.
For sure.
It's going to come from, like a higher body.
Exactly.
Like, for example, this is something I know, like, in the gacha game space. A lot of these games come out of China. And you know what? We're no fans of, like, the way the Chinese government does a lot of things. But I know one thing that they did in China to regulate this industry was they were like, okay, if you were going to have these gacha games, you must include the exact, like, percentage odds of getting each individual mm-hmm. thing you can pull in these games. This is different than a lot of companies in, it might be different now, but I know this was the case for a while, at least, than gacha games out of, like, Korea, where not only did they not have to disclose that, but there was, like, a big uproar in, I forget which games community it was. It might have been, like, I'm not going to name a game. I'm not going to spread misinfo, but there was some big hubbub where some of the gacha games coming out of Korea, they did this thing where, like, you had to, like, spend a certain amount of money, a threshold, to even get a chance of something at all. Like, if you wanted this
That's
new character
wild.
That just came out, the actual percentage of you getting it was just set
like a
to 0%.
Sliding scale.
Yeah, and other insidious things like that. I know even here in the West, like, a lot of companies, like, I think Ubisoft or maybe, like, EA Games, one of those, like, one of the big shitty ones, they filed patents for systems where, like, in multiplayer games, the system will match you if you're, like, a free-to-play player, the the multiplayer matchmaking is going to pair you more often with people who have spent money on shit so
to
that
make
you can
you
see
feel
their
bad.
Skins. Yeah, yeah. So you can see their
no
skins
shit.
And their guns and be like, I want to buy, I want to be like them. It's completely, I don't know
I mean,
if
that's,
they do that.
That's
but
brilliant.
They
it's
filed
fucking
the patent.
Evil. It's evil, but it's brilliant at the same time. Like,
it's yeah. this is some, like, lawful evil devil master manipulator
sure.
shit. I would respect it if it was not so insidious.
For sure. And the funny thing is, like, when you mentioned that, as somebody who lived in Korea for quite a while, casinos exist in Korea, but they are illegal for the most part for Koreans to go to because the government.
Same with Japan.
Yeah,
they have like the pachinko parlors where you go across the street and get the thing.
But the casinos in Korea are like straight up. There's no. It's not like. It's not even like, okay, well, you can go here, but you get a certificate and then you bring it somewhere else. No, like, it's just like not allowed. It's not allowed because the government is just like, we don't want our people. We know people are going to fuck themselves up here. We don't want it. You can have a casino here, but only foreigners can go there. So we used to go to the casino. It was just me and my friends and a bunch of like Japanese and Chinese businessmen just being assholes. But it's so it's funny that they recognize it in this sphere, but when it comes to mobile games, they're just like,
so much overlap with like the gambling industry and a lot of the same psychology that goes into casinos and gambling. It's not regulated by gambling. It's a completely different set of like organizations and bodies that regulates it. Like it's just really sad and pathetic, dude. Like I've made a joke, like I would love to take a trip to Vegas. I think it would be fun for a weekend or something. I look at some things like, oh, you go to like the roulette table or you play like a round of poker, you know, like this, I can see the fun in that. But when I go to a casino and I just see like the rows and rows of the slot machines and you see like somebody's grandma
that's
just like hooked up
shit.
There.
Yeah.
That's the darkest shit.
Yes.
That's sad. But the thing is, that's what a lot of people are doing with fucking mobile games. They're
100%.
Just sitting on their phone. They're just pressing the button, insert more money, get the flashy new character, blah, blah, blah. It's sad. It's a dark abyss. And, you know, this is the real problem in games. I think this is the real problem. But no, maybe there's just too many like fucking pride flags. Maybe Lara Croft's titties are not big enough. Maybe the fucking Final Fantasy VII remake. Maybe they made Tifa not sexy enough. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe we're missing the point.
In I think like people do like gambling fundamentally. Like gambling is fucking fun. I'm gonna come straight out and say it's
pure dopamine.
Gambling is fucking fun. And that's the thing. I like roguelike games because like there is a gambling aspect to it. Like it's a lot of chance goes into it. It's a lot of skill. It's like playing fucking Texas Hold'em or something. Like,
dude, I'm a complete piece of shit. I am not to be listened to. I'm a hypocrite. At the time of recording, there's a new fucking Honkai character coming out tomorrow. I have 54 pulls saved up. Don't listen to me, okay? Be better. Rise above. Do as we say, not as we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it's yeah, I mean, I guess we have to like recognize this instead of just being like, that's the thing. You can't just be like laissez-faire of just like, oh well, you know, it's just a thing. And you also can't just be like, don't allow anything related to chance in games, I guess. But I mean, like, yeah, I don't know.
I think there are compelling arguments to like, should we just like fucking ban all microtransactions, all like fucking gacha game loot box, all that stuff? I think, you know, I've read some of the arguments. I think it's compelling, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. I think if you are an adult, you should have the freedom to gamble your money. You should be able to spend it on stupid shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to say because at the same time, like, yeah, I'm putting too much credence into like responsible adults. Like I have adult friends who, as I said, they know their impulse control problems. That's not their fault. It's not like a moral failing on their part. I don't know. I don't know where to draw the line exactly, but it sure as fuck could be a lot better than it is right now. And the problems of the game industry, or like why a game like fucking Suicide Squad, why it sucks ass, it's not because they hired some fucking consultants to like write extra dialogue for background NPCs.
I mean, I guess my take with that is like, it's hard for me to reconcile too, because I support the freedoms and individual rights of individuals, but when it comes to companies, it's just like we've reached this point in you know, modern corporate capitalism and shit like that, where so many of these industries have been distilled into like such a small body that like if these people get together, or they kind of just like set this precedent of like, well, this is what games are now. They're just fucking gambling loot box transaction machines. They're not fun anymore. It's just a fucking roulette wheel with like a game
attached.
It's
hard to believe this, but at some point, the people at the head of the games industry were just like games industry people. They were CEOs who only worked in the games industry.
Right,
but now
right.
Every single fucking industry is just modeling itself after the tech sector.
Exactly.
Which is like the worst.
Exactly.
Like the fucking tech finance people who, it's all about fucking quarterly returns. Mm-hmm. It sucks. This is every industry now.
Yeah, right, right. And if you look back at the old days of like, you know, FPS gaming and shit with like John Romero and fucking Gabe Newell and you know, Quake and Doom and all this type of shit. It's like, these were gamers that were programmers, and then they made a company and like they did some shit. And now it's just like, this fucking Ubisoft hires this pedophile as like the head of the CEO of this thing, and it's like, here's a game that's coming out that fucking sucks, like, enjoy.
I remember this was a couple years ago, one of the most notorious gaming industry ghouls, Bobby Kotick, formerly of Activision.
Oh yeah, that
Notoriety.
Guy
there was
an
article
Epstein.
Where
he was an
where
Epstein
Bobby
lister,
Kotick
right? Wasn't he?
I'm pretty sure he was. Allegedly. Just in case we're wrong. But the thing is, there was an article like several years ago where Bobby Kotick was complaining that his like dating life was suffering because people on the internet kept photoshopping him to look like the devil. Which is funny as fuck.
I mean, you're
going to
find a goth girl that's into that. So I don't know what you're bitching about.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think your boy Bobby is into something a little younger than that, but younger than most goth girls I know, at least.
Fine, go to Spencer Gifts and see if somebody work in there.
He likes the young women. He likes them real young. He likes to party.
He likes them pretty. He's a man after my own.
He likes the women. Women should be married when they are young and fertile for the Western
mind. It's just biology. A woman is fertile at age 14, and only the woke mind virus and moralists, liberals.
I believe in three things: a clean room and clean women and a clean cock,
and an all beef diet with no apple juice.
Oh, Steamboat Willie!
Steamboat.
One day I'll do something else with that bit. I don't know where we're going. We'll workshop something. Yeah. It just entered the public domain, guys. Okay, give us some time.
Yeah. We're working on an animation, but we need more funding for Briar's asthma medication. So if you're not donating, you're literally advocating for a trans woman to die. So that means you're not woke.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Do better, sweaty. I think we've made our point loud and clear. I think this is a good place to wrap up. I had some other stuff in my notes. I was gonna go off more about like the art side of thing and how like gamers don't fucking know anything about art. But maybe that can be its own thing.
I think this could be a two-parter, you know, like an unofficial two-parter.
No promises about next week just yet. We kind of come up with what we talk about. We don't really plan a whole lot here, but you know what, Dave, you're a creative person. You make music. I do art. We're both like creative types of people.
Yeah, we could probably do a whole episode on that one.
We can talk about art. We can get real pretentious about it. I have a lot of thoughts about it, but yeah, maybe that's a little teaser. I think we'll wrap it up here for today before we break down into more stupid character voices.
Hey guys, it's Moist Critical. I just wanted to come out of the gate and say thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm going through a lot right now. I've really got into sounding lately. Been sticking a lot of things up my urethra and it's not working out so well. So I'm taking a break.
Young man, you should not be so moist. You should be more dry. Have you tried being dry, Critical? dry like the dried meat that I eat constantly. Dried pork.
Dry Critical. Pork. It's like Dark Sonic.
Yeah, we're really going somewhere.
Whoa, let's read off the patrons.
Oh yeah, the patrons. Well. First I want to say I love all of the patrons. I love some of you more than others, but I'm not going to say who I love more than the others. I want you to debate it.
You guys to fight for my love.
Yeah, I want you to debate about it amongst yourselves. I want to sow derision between your ranks.
How can you guys say you love me if you haven't even funded my energy drink addiction?
Exactly. But I'm going to read this down the in no particular order, by the way. So, first out of the gate, Shalom Guy. Love Shalom Guy.
Nice. Protagon. Love him.
Ooh.
Hell yeah, Protagon.
Nick.
Nick, we love you. We also know your last name. I don't know if you want us to read it or not.
Yeah, if you do. Let me know.
Drop us a comment.
Yeah. Trash Bins, an OG friend of the pod. Our first guest.
Friend of the pod.
Our first guest.
Yes. Episode 10. Check that out. That was a wild time.
Clam. Ooh.
Clam, you're awesome.
I got so much
keep
to say
being
about,
you. Yeah. Clam keep it up.
Walker, one of my OG homies from actually back in the day. I've seen his dick before, by the way. That's fun lore. We went to the Korean sauna together, so I've seen Walker's dick. It's a good dick.
That's the real deep lore of the show.
and our boy fucking Weasel. Dr. Hell yeah, motherfucking Weasel.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The react emote guy.
Weasel, we love you, and we love your wife as well. Tell her we said hi.
Yeah, tell your wife I'll see her. I'll see her later.
Yeah, that'll be a patron only.
But anyways, all of you who are donating to this podcast in its infancy, what, like, you will be remembered in the annals of time as people on the right side of history.
If you want to be remembered right away, you can also pop in to our Discord, which you do not need to spend money on the patron to get into it right now, but you will get an OG role in our little Discord server if you join now and for some length of time. So get in there, say hi, say hello to us.
Oh yeah.
Share some funny memes, maybe share a few words about your favorite US senators. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
Yeah, no Fed posting. Just kidding. Not kidding. But well, we'll see. Anyways, we'll see. Yes, come to the Discord. There's already a bunch of cool people in there, and you could make it even cooler. Unless you suck and then don't come in there. But if you're listening to the end of the episode, you're probably very cool. Because I don't think anybody listens to the end of the episodes at this point.
I think at least a few people do. I've gotten some comments about the little impressions we do. Either way, true. I think that's a wrap for today. We'll see. This is part one. We'll do part two maybe next week, maybe another time, but look forward to it. We will dive deeper into gamers, capital G gamers.
Gamers. They targeted gamers. All right, well, yeah.
Targeted gamers.
Well, anyways, this has been fun, and I'll see you bitches later.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Fucking A. Good fight. Good night.